Okay, so this is family service. So there's kids. So it's family service, like being at home with your family in the living room, okay? So kids are gonna make noise, and I'm saying that for the sake of parents, not for everybody else. Like, if you're a parent and your kids make noise, they're kids, they make noise, don't worry. Everybody's not gonna be like, oh, your kids are making. It's family service. I'm aware of that. I'm the one that set it up this way. I know it's okay. If your kids make noise, it's okay. Now, the good news for you is you chose to come to family service, which means I give myself a shorter timer, all right? That means you don't have to listen as long because I know that the kids will get restless. So let me start my timer now. All right, so everybody's ready to go. All right, there we go. I've only set it for 1 hour and 15 minutes. So everything should be, is that too long for kids? I don't know. My kids are good with that. All right. Awesome. Man, what a night already, man. I'm stoked. You guys have no idea. Like, there are some things about being a pastor, and sometimes when it comes to Christmas and Easter, it's so fun. It's so fun. Because we come together and there's the challenge of how do you tell the same story in a different sort of way each time? And then you come to the conclusion, like, it doesn't really matter how you tell it. It's God's story. Like, it's beautiful enough, it's wonderful enough, it's amazing enough. So anyway, I'm stoked, man. I'm just overwhelmed. This year has been wild, right? And yet here we are, man. Like, God's so good. Let's pray one more time. I know Chris prayed, but let's pray one more time. Father, we just give this time to you. We give our hearts to you. We give our lives, we give to you, Lord. Would you please be glorified in this time? Would you please speak to our hearts in a fresh way in this time? From the youngest to the oldest, would you teach us something about your love for us and for this world that is so terribly broken, so terribly messed up all around us right now, God? Would you pour out your peace upon us, upon our homes, upon this valley, upon our state, upon our nation? Would you pour out your peace and have your way in this time, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, it's been quite the year. A lot of uncertainties, and yet through it all, we have seen God been unchangingly faithful and gracious. And as we come together tonight and we celebrate, the birth of Jesus, I mean, we got all the right church stuff. We got a little manger. We have my Torah loaned us a little baby Jesus for the manger. I mean, we have all the stuff. But the thing is, we have to understand when we come and we're about to read through the Christmas story that if it wasn't for Jesus, none of us would know what grace was. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't know what it means to get what we don't deserve. We wouldn't understand mercy. We wouldn't understand that there is a God who is holy and loving and just, who, even though he has every right to punish us eternally, he instead was merciful and also gracious and sent his son to die on our behalf, to take our sin upon himself. Like, we celebrate all of that when we celebrate Christmas. We don't just celebrate the birth of a baby. We celebrate the coming of our Savior, whose name is Jesus. You see, when Jesus came, he fulfilled some 300 prophecies in his birth, in his life, in his death. And there's a couple of them in which we look at, every Christmas, right? One of those, you probably have a Christmas card, on your shelf with this one, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel means God with us. We remember that some 700 years before the story that we're going to read tonight, there was a prophecy given to the prophet Isaiah during a really horrible time in the history of Israel and of Judah, and said, look, there's going to be a sign, and the sign is, a virgin's going to bear a child. I don't know about you, but that's not like normal stuff. right? I don't know too many virgins who have children, right? And today, if somebody comes to you and they go like, you know, oh, we got pregnant. Oh, you got pregnant. Well, I'm still a virgin, but I got pregnant, right? You would go like, no, not true, right? So we have this sign that there would be a Savior to come. One called Emmanuel, God with us, would come. And he would come from this incredible birth of the Holy Spirit impregnating a young girl named Mary, which we'll read about. But then the second thing that we often remember of these some 300 prophecies and promises about Jesus is that our Savior would come from Bethlehem, that he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. That this Jesus that we celebrate was born to be a ruler. We know him. We know his title. He is the Lord of Lords, but he's also what? The King of Kings, the one who would sit eternally on the throne of David. But notice, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. You see, the thing that's important for us to understand as we get ready to read through the account of Matthew and in Luke is to understand who Jesus really is. Jesus is God who put on flesh, came as a man to identify with us, to teach us the Word and the heart of God, to display the pure agape love of God, to pay for our sin with his righteous blood, which he shed on the cross, to rise again on the third day out of a tomb that he was only borrowing. And that resurrection proved that all that he said and all that he did was true. And then to ascend back to heaven, to fill us with the Holy Spirit as a sign, as a seal of the promise, his promise to return for us again so that we can spend eternity with God in heaven. This is what we celebrate when we come to Christmas. And while it's true that we celebrate the birth of Jesus tonight as he came in the flesh, we have to know, we have to remember, especially in the day and age we live in, that Jesus has no beginning, will have no end. He was not created. The Bible says that Jesus himself was involved in the creation of all things. It's what we read, you know, in various places, but we look here in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is who we celebrate when we look at the story of the birth of Jesus, the eternal one who always existed, who came out of a great love for sinners like us, because that's what every single one of us are. We're sinners. We're people who have fallen short. We've missed the mark. It's an archery term. The idea is with our lives, we've missed the bullseye. With our sin that we have caught. And so the Father sent his only begotten Son for us. Well, we'll get to the story. We'll start with the announcement to Joseph. It's found in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, that is, engaged for a lack of better terms, to Joseph before they came together, before they were intimate with one another, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not, had no relations with her, until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, what extreme circumstances these are. Here are these two young people, Joseph and Mary. It turns out that Mary is pregnant. And when everybody says, hey, how did you become pregnant? She goes, oh, it's the Lord. I'm a virgin. Right? Under those same circumstances today, you would say, you're a liar. That's what you are. You have to understand that when this comes about, Joseph is freaking out and he goes, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be marrying this girl and this girl is pregnant. What happened? There was funny business. But no, the angel of the Lord comes and says, no, don't be afraid. This is all something that the Lord is doing. Matter of fact, if you jump over to Luke, and we'll have it on the screen for you, you jump over to Luke chapter 1 and you'll see how this was all foretold to Mary first. It says, in Luke 1:26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God, we have missionaries in Peru that are calling me right now in the middle of service. So pardon me for that. You know what? It's family service. Hang on, we're gonna say hi to Peru, okay? Hang on, so we're gonna say hi to Peru. Hey, we're in the middle of service. Say hi to everybody. We're having Christmas service. We love you guys. We'll call you later, okay? Look, we're having church. I'll call you after church. I'll call you after church. Told you, family service. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age and has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Do you believe that? Like, do you believe that? Because here's the thing, right? Like, every year we come together and we read the same text because it's a Christmas story. Because this is the story of how our Savior was born. But do you believe that? Do you believe literally? Literally, do you believe? Not like figuratively. Do you literally believe that there was a young virgin who an angel from heaven, that God sent an angel from heaven upon to come and to speak to this young virgin girl and to say, hey, Mary, you're highly favored. You're going to conceive. You're going to have a son. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And she said, problem. I'm a virgin. And he said, I know. But the Lord's going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And the result is that you're going to be carrying a baby boy in your womb. And he's going to save the world from their sin. Do you believe that? Because I got to tell you, like, if you don't believe that part of it, then the rest of it doesn't make any real sense. If you don't believe this part of it, then Jesus is just a man to you. He's just a good moral teacher to you. He's just a guy that did some cool miracles. You know, party tricks. Water to wine, make a lame man stand up and walk, take the tongue of a mute person and allow them to speak. If you don't believe this fundamental part of the story, then you don't really know who Jesus really is. If you don't understand that he is God who came in the flesh, then all of this singing these songs that we sing every year, this time of year, all of this stuff that we do in honor of Jesus throughout the rest of the year means nothing. If you don't understand that this holiday, if you will, is not just about a baby being born. Babies are born every day. Every day babies are born. But only one was born of a virgin supernaturally as the Holy Spirit came upon her. Do you know why that's an important thing? Because this means that this baby who would grow up, and we just saying he was born to die, this means that when he would go to the cross, he would go as one who was fully man and fully God, the only one who could rightly be put on a cross to pay for our sin. The only one who could say of all men ever born that he perfectly fulfilled the perfect law of God. The only one who could say that he fulfilled every prophecy, which, by the way, all 300 of these prophecies is a mathematical equation that would blow your mind. If he only fulfilled 17 of these prophecies, a mathematician laid it out like this and said, if this Jesus only fulfilled 17 of the Old Testament prophecies about him, it would be the equivalent of filling the state of Texas about a foot high with silver dollars, marking one, dropping you in the middle of Texas, and you happening to find that one and go, oh, look, here it is. But he fulfilled 300, not 17. But that's because this was all laid out by God. That when Jesus came, he came to be more than a baby in a manger. When Jesus came, he came to be the perfect, sinless Son of God, to perfectly teach the Word of God, to perfectly display the love and the heart of God, to perfectly display the power of God, to perfectly display what a man, what a human is meant to be. When he came with a purpose. And the purpose was to do all of these things so that upon his death, we would recognize our Savior had come. But again, I have to ask, before we get into the meat and potatoes here in Luke chapter 2 of the actual story, do you believe that he was born of a virgin? Do you believe that to be actually true? In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. Her firstborn son, there were more to follow, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. By the way, that word inn, it could mean a guest room in a house. It could mean a lower room in which they would keep the animals. not necessarily a shed in the back. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. And I know we talk about this every year, but this just blows my mind. Shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Do you understand that in these days, the idea of a shepherd is that when you met a shepherd in these days, you double-checked your pockets after you met a shepherd. If a shepherd told you something, you'd have to verify it with 17 other people because they were thieves and liars. They were the people that when somebody said that they were a shepherd, you would go like, oh boy, stay away from me, guy. Like, I don't want to. And notice this. In the same region, there were the low-life shepherds, by what we might say today, out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Okay, an angel of the Lord appeared to both Joseph and Mary and said how this boy would be born. And now an angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds, to the thieves, to the liars. Why? This is who God is going to first introduce, to tell the world. He's going to tell it through shepherds, thieves, and liars that the Savior of the world has come. Isn't that crazy to you? That God doesn't send messengers to a king. God doesn't send messengers to the rabbis or to the priests or to the Sadducees or to the Pharisees. But God sends messengers to the shepherds, to the base people, the low people, the people that are known as being criminals. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Every time you see an angel appear in the Bible, the people are always filled with great fear when they see an angel. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Okay, I don't know about you, but when I read that verse right there, I go like, man, is this custom, like, did they custom write this chapter for 2020 or something? Like, look at this. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, a multitude of more angels praising God. A whole choir breaks out as this angel speaks to these shepherds and says, hey man, this is the best news you've ever heard, and go check it out. I guarantee when you get there, there's going to be a baby in a manger wrapped up in swaddling cloth. And then as soon as he says that, their choir from heaven begins to sing. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. We've got to check this out. Doesn't happen every day. I don't know about you, but it doesn't happen in my life every day that an angel just shows up and says something to me, and then a whole choir of angels start singing from heaven. Like, that's not the norm for my life. Maybe it is for you. Maybe you're super holy, and that's just your thing, right? Maybe that's how it works for you. But I'm guessing that, like these guys, you're probably not like that. So an angel shows up, tells you about this announcement that this best news ever, that the Savior of the world, the one to take away sin, has come. And they go like, well, we should go there. Let's go to that place. And so they go. Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. That means they hurried up. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They told them what the angel had spoken. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Can you imagine being Joseph and Mary? You've already heard from an angel, an angel from heaven that this is what's going to happen. This is who this baby's going to be. And then all of a sudden, these shepherds show up and they go, you will never believe what just happened to us out there in the field. We had to come and tell you. We had to come and see if it was true. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You know what that word Jesus means? Jehovah is salvation. When God sent his son, he gave his son a name to tell the world the same God who created us is the same God who desires to save us. We have to understand this is why Jesus came. Remember, the angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "He will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Why did Jesus come? Well, to quote a verse that I said to a very unpleasant fellow on the phone who called me earlier today, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You see, Jesus said of himself in Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man," that's Jesus' favorite phrase for himself, "the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Isaiah, some 700 years before this, said this, Isaiah 53, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all." You see, it's interesting that when the announcement comes about the birth of Jesus, that he would be the one to bring peace. But he had to bring peace through a really painful, horrible death. Because listen, when we celebrate Christmas, Christmas is not just about spending extra money that time of year to buy people gifts. Christmas isn't just about having these beautiful poinsettias. Christmas isn't about, you know, putting on red clothes. Christmas is about God making a way for man to have peace with himself. The only way for us to have peace with God is to come through Jesus Christ, his Son, the peacemaker. You have to understand that. That is the whole purpose in Jesus coming. Not just so that we could have Christmas cards. Not just for all these other outside things. We celebrate the birth of the peacemaker. And let me tell you, when I look out, when you look out around the world, around the country right now, the world doesn't need more politicians. The world does. It doesn't matter who they're going to finally declare is going to be in the White House. That doesn't matter. The only peace is going to come from Jesus. Now look, we all have our preference for who we'd like to see in the White House, and some of us may not even agree on that. But I can tell you one thing. The one thing that all mankind must agree upon is that Jesus Christ is the only one that can make peace with us. We, before Jesus comes into our lives, we are at enmity, the Bible says, at war with God because of our wrongdoing. And sometimes people don't like to hear that, right? Like, don't tell me I'm a sinner. I have a brother who knows? Maybe he's watching the live stream right now. Bro, if you're watching, man, I hope you're watching this, all right? He would say to me, I'm not a sinner. There's no such thing as sin. I'm not a sinner. We're all sinners, man. We've all violated the law of God. Not the 613 commands that are laid out in the Old Testament. But I bet any one of these kids could name one or two or three or five or all 10 of the commands that all of us are guilty of. Name me one of the commandments. Any of the kids. No adults. Any of the kids. Name me a commandment. Tell me one of the 10 commandments. Don't get shy. Shout it out. Yeah, but which sin? Huh? Don't sin? Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, that kind of wraps up all the 10 commandments right there. Don't sin. Thank you very much. Good night. Don't sin. But we know it, right? How about you shall not have any other gods before me? What have you placed before the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you got, Rhema? Tell me one of them. Honor your mother and father. Pastor's kid right there. Shall not steal. Shall not murder. Shall not commit adultery. What does Jesus tell us about murder? It's when you hate somebody in your heart. What does Jesus tell us about adultery? It's when you lust after somebody else. You see, the thing is that when we violate the commandments of God, we find ourselves at odds with Him, at enmity with Him, at war with Him. And man will never win a war with God. Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus came to bring peace. When we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we celebrate that God made a way for all mankind to be saved, to be forgiven, to have peace with the God who made us and loved us. That's what we celebrate. That's the nuts and bolts of this. That God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you, to pay for your sin. Whether you're the youngest little baby in this room or the oldest, you know, gray hair in the room. Jesus came for all. He came for you because He loves you. He died for you because He loves you. He was born in a manger and all these things because He loves you. Obviously, we don't have time to go into 300 prophecies about all that, but He fulfilled all this perfectly because He so loves the world, a world that is fallen, broken, messed up, and He's the only peacemaker. The peacemaker for me and the peacemaker for you. Peacemaker for your family, for your neighbors, for your co-workers, your classmates. And yes, even, He is so amazing, He can even be a peacemaker in Washington, D.C. How much faith do you have? Because I got to tell you, man, if He could save a guy like me, if He could put peace in my heart, knuckleheads in Washington are nothing. This is about a loving Savior. By the way, as we close, and I'll have the worship team come back up here, Pastor Chris said something earlier that, you know, it was smart. It was a smart thing that he said. He doesn't have many smart things, but he said this thing. He said, as he comes into the room, like, what? He said, isn't it great? I'm going to paraphrase, but isn't it great how God gets the glory so that at least one time a year, everybody sings worship songs, even if they don't realize it? God's still on the throne. I know it's been a crazy year. I get that. God's still on the throne. God's still faithful. God's still holy. God's still loving. God is still just. God still loves you. And you know, some of you, maybe you've had a rough year, man. And maybe in the roughness of the year, maybe that's caused you to stray away from the Lord. Maybe in the craziness of this year, it's caused you to run to him like never before. But man, he's right there loving you the whole way, saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest to your soul. That's the Jesus that we celebrate, who came and was born in a manger. A God of love and of peace. A God that gives you rest. Let's pray. Father, you're so gracious to send us the Savior. You're so good to us, God, that even though we caused the separation between us and you, you sent your Son to make peace so that we could have peace with you. And that peace comes from recognizing your great love, your great mercy, your great grace, from understanding that you made a way for our sin to be forgiven through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we go about the rest of this night, as we go about our day tomorrow, now we want to experience that peace in a time with so little of it all around us. Some of us, God, need to come back to you. Some of us, no doubt, have strayed away in the frustration of all that's gone on this year. And for those that find themselves in that place, or maybe you've just never come before the Lord at all and said, Lord, forgive me. You came for us, even though we don't deserve it. So if that's anybody in here, just pray with me. Your heart before the Lord. No fancy words, just your heart before the Lord. Father, I'm a sinner. I have blown it. I have sinned. I have violated your word and your will for my life. And I pray that you would forgive me this night. Father, you sent your Son that I would have forgiveness and salvation. Please forgive me, Lord. Please wash me clean with the blood of Jesus. For tonight, I trust you. I trust that your Son was born of a virgin. I trust that your Son lived a perfect, sinless, holy life. I trust that your Son died on a cross to pay for my sin. And I trust that forgiveness is found in only him alone. So please forgive me. Please save me, Lord. Please make me your child. Fill me with your peace, your love, your joy. Overwhelm me with your Holy Spirit and do a mighty work within my life that glorifies you. For I believe in Jesus alone. Thank you, Father, for this night. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Do a beautiful work tonight, God, as we sing this last song, as we spend some time fellowshipping, Lord, as we get to spend time with family and friends. Do a work of reviving our hearts and preparing us for all you have in store this next year. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son for us. We trust you and put our hope in you. We do it all in Jesus' name.